Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Have you got game? Got game on the Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet590.ca.
This is Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. This week, fresh details about NHL 16. Blue Jays catcher Russell Martin stops by to talk about being on the cover of MLB The Show. Splatoon hits store shelves next week. We find out why you should care. And what the heck is Body Bags 2?
Have you got game? Lowdown.
This is Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. My name is Moman Qureshi, Brian Calhoun, Christine Chubb around the table at GotGame590 on Twitter, sportsnet590.ca for the blog. Lots to do in this show. We got a busy show this week. We have weeks where there is not much going on and we try to put things in, and then there's weeks like today where there's too much to talk about. So, to let you know, Russell Martin from the Toronto Blue Jays on the cover of MLB The Show 15. He is going to join us in our next segment. Christine, you and I had a chance to talk to him a few days ago.
We did. He was lovely.
You tweeted out a picture, posted one on Instagram. It was lovely.
I certainly did.
Yeah, he's a delightful fellow. We'll talk more about that in next segment.
I am so interested to hear what actual baseball fans doing an interview with an actual baseball player sounds like on the show. Because up until now, it's just been me going,
Hey, I was there for Batista.
Who do you think is better, you in real life or you in the video game?
We did ask him that, though.
Did you ask him, like, Mr. Burns, hey, you brown shoes, how about that local sports team, eh?
What about those sideburns?
Yeah. Shave those sideburns. And then in our third segment, the new game Splatoon is coming out next week for the Wii U. It's actually a game that the three of us tried at E3, and I'm actually rather excited about it. Already got the download code. I'll have a review when we do our show next week. But this week, we have Heather Potter from Nintendo Canada coming on to talk about that game.
And I'll leave this for that segment, but don't automatically turn this game down because it's a Nintendo game and it's cutesy.
Yeah.
Listen to that interview. I think there's definitely something there for a wide audience.
Mm-hmm. I agree, but we will talk more about that in segment three. But first of all, definitely the story that matters the most to our audience here.
Need for Speed. No, okay. I know.
Here on Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network is NHL 16. We got some details, and by that, I mean lots of details. They've basically laid out, the folks at EA Sports have laid out what we can come to expect in NHL 16. Now, they did preface this, that NHL 15 didn't go over that well. There was lots of problems, lots of issues. Lots of people had a bunch of issues with it. Friend of the show, Sean Ramjag Singh, the producer of the game, took a lot of heat on social media for it. Most of it undeserved, but some of it very deserved.
All of it undeserved.
Yeah. I mean, the points about the game were deserved, but the calls to get him removed and stepped down were ludicrous.
No, that's
and
ridiculous.
Crazy.
Yeah, anybody who did that, I don't even want you listening to the show. Just tune out. If that's the attitude you're going to take when a video game doesn't go your way, it was ridiculous. I literally took to Twitter and started defending Sean on Twitter when all these tweets started happening. And Sean doesn't need me to defend him. He's a big boy, but I was
literally,
so
he's a giant.
Yeah, he's probably the tallest person in video game development. And I wasn't making a pun there. I was just saying that he does not need me to defend him. But I got so enraged by the entitled attitude of the NHL 15 crowd that I literally took to Twitter and started telling people to shut their mouths because they didn't know what they were talking about.
The thing that got me before we get to the details for 16 is people who were calling for him to be fired or to force him to resign. And all this stuff. If this was his first crack at it and he failed miserably, maybe.
Yeah.
But he's got like 10 previous games before him, which most of which were pretty awesome. I'm like, okay. So he swung and he missed one time. How about he gets a mulligan and he can come back next year?
And even like he said it before, the stuff that if it wasn't perfect that the way he wanted it to be, he was not putting it in that game. So he deserves many kudos for having to maintain the integrity of the game by saying, I'm not putting a shoddy product in this.
Also, he didn't run and hide. He stood there. No. He talked about it. He was on. And a lot of the stuff was fixed through patching over time. So, yeah.
And no one has ever come out and said this publicly, but the rumor always was that when the UFC game that came out, let's say 2 months before the NHL game came out.
Yeah.
Just before that was to go to disc. That thing was on fire. Mm-hmm. And the rumor always was that EA Sports took people off of the NHL team and put on the UFC team, which is why the NHL product was lacking so many features. Yeah. Because as we talk to Sean, every time we talk to him, he always says the exact same thing. They don't have a chance to make up lost time. If they lose a day, they lose a day. It's gone forever.
That's right.
So imagine if, let's say, even a third of the team, a quarter, let's say maybe even like 15% of your team was taken off the project and put on another project for like 2 months. How much time would he have lost?
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
But that rumor has never been officially substantiated. It's just a rumor that was going around at the time.
The other thing that people have to remember, too, is that sports games do not have the luxury of every other game, which is they can't delay it. Mm-hmm. They can delay it maybe by a few weeks, maybe a month, but they can't really push it back 6 months. They can't kick
Tiger
it back.
Woods.
They pushed that back like three months. But, you know, MLB, NHL, NBA.
It's not the norm.
It's not the norm. They can't really push them back. But I do understand you're dropping your $70 on it, so you want what you pay for. So let's talk about what's coming up in this year's NHL 16, which will hopefully be a much better product, and I have faith that it will be. So here are the modes that are coming in NHL 16. Play Now, NHL Moments Live, Be a Pro, Hockey Ultimate Team, Big Bone of Contention from 15, Be a GM, EA Sports Hockey League, Season Mode, Online Team Play, Practice Mode, Online Versus, and Playoff Mode. Those are all going to be in the game when you toss it in September, October.
And that's literally like double the modes that came with NHL 15 when it launched. Not when they fixed it with patches afterwards.
Right.
But when the game launched originally, the only modes in NHL 15 were Play Now, Be a Pro, Be a GM, Online Versus, the Hockey Ultimate Team, and NHL Moments Live.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting double your game modes, double your fun.
But I think that's the stuff that people want in their game to enjoy their NHL. They've come to expect it. As you said, Brian, they maybe become a little entitled by it, but that's what they expect and that's what they want, so EA's giving it to them.
Strange thing, though, I remember when we started to get the emails post-launch of NHL 15, and they said, hey, you know what? We're going to put the playoff mode, it was the offline tournament playoff mode, in the game post-launch. We're going to give you coach feedback in Hockey Ultimate Team. We're going to do this, and we're also going to put the 3 stars in the game. 3 stars are not on this list.
Yeah, that's true.
Are we going to live in a world where 2 NHL games...
Sean should be fired. God damn it.
Off of his head. Seriously, though, could it be 2 years without the 3 stars in there?
We'll see. I mean, let's remember this game is still a good 4.5 months away.
Oh, I'm joking. Of course the 3 stars are going to be there.
I know you are, but I'm just saying the game's 4.5 months away, and they always save certain announcements for later on. Like, there's nothing in here about Legends either, and that's been in the last several games, so I'm guessing that'll come down the pipe eventually as well.
But this is only half the news. The rest of the news is they're also tweaking a number of modes that they have put out, including 6v6 online. That's back.
Yep.
That was a big thing last year where everyone was upset that they couldn't play as a goalie. It was only 5v5. This year it's going to be 6v6.
And 4v4 versus in-house couch play, local play.
Yeah, which I don't think that has actually been a thing before.
I don't remember
that.
Somebody get Rob Wong on the phone and ask him.
That's right.
So that's part of what it is. Ultimate Team Mode is also back to let you do multiplayer off-seasons. And Be a GM Mode now will let you, navigate the motions of a draft and manage your AHL team, which you already could. But you can also manage the morale of individual players on an NHL roster. So good luck babysitting those egos.
Yeah, I was going to say it'll be a whole bunch of like placating and head patting. Yeah. You did well. I'm sorry you didn't do that great today, but here's some cookies, you're better next time.
Here's an extra $1,000 bonus.
It's okay, Kessel, you don't have to talk to people.
$1,000 bonus. That's like a nickel to hockey players, as far as I know.
Well, I mean, you don't want to push your ego too far.
That's right, yeah, but good luck babysitting those emotions.
I would say the biggest change is that in the EA Sports Hockey League mode, they've gotten rid of that quote-unquote XP grind that they've had before. Now you're going to have a class-based system where you basically have to arranged to different classes, and we don't actually know what the classes are specifically. I would imagine you'd have like smaller, faster guys who are good with the puck. You'd have bigger, brooding, slower, but more powerful defensemen. You'd have your fighters, stuff like that. We don't know exactly what they are. I'm sure that will be safe for E3 in
a
couple of weeks at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, what basically you'll have to do instead of grinding this XP is put these classes together, find the right combination of classes that work for you, and your play style, and the better you actually figure out that arrangement, the better your team will play in the play style you want.
Interesting. It's all very interesting. I also like the last thing they mentioned here, which is that they're going to try and up the arena atmosphere part of the game, and they're promising to have player models that are more realistic and a story-driven commentating package. More realistic? How much more realistic can it get?
Well, apparently they're going to be adding mascots.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mascots. See there. Carlton the Bear is going to be in this next game. I love that. But, I mean, how much more realistic can these player models get? Unless Phil Kessel climbs out of my TV, the ring style, into my living room, it's already so realistic. I don't know how much more they can do to get it.
You actually get to go and get your beer while the Zamboni is driving, and then you get to talk to people and wait in line. So it'll be the line game.
You have to go to concession stands.
Then you go to the bathroom.
No, you have to wait in line to go use your own fridge. And when you show up to your fridge, you find out that you have to pay $20 to get anything out of your fridge.
Right. And they'll have some obnoxious person yell behind you just for no reason, or somebody on their phone all the whole time.
$20 is a discount at the ACC, by the way. You're getting some cheap food for that price.
I was thinking $20 for a carrot.
But the actual facial character models and stuff they have, I already thought were super bang on. You know, realistic. I'm not sure how much more they can actually improve that.
Well, that's the glory of the new system, you know? I mean, they've really updated the graphics on everything, so now they can really let it rip.
I mean, let's not forget that we are on, the first year or so, 2 years, I think, at this point, of the PlayStation 2, about 1.5 for the
year
Xbox
and a half,
One.
Yeah, because they came out in
November.
It'll
be 2 by the time this game comes out.
We are at the very beginning of what the graphics capabilities of these consoles are.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, some of the best-looking games of the old systems were The Last of Us, the Uncharted games, Uncharted 3 was so good looking. Those were the games that came towards the end of the console's life cycle. So the graphics are only going to get better. I mean, there's obviously a ceiling where they won't be able to go past, but they'll be getting better from now until the end of the console's life cycle, just as people learn how to make the games better on these systems.
So we will keep you informed. I'm sure we will have producer Sean Ramjag sing on at some point to talk about it. Sadly, we won't be at E3 this year, but that doesn't mean we won't be all over what's happening down there. So we will keep you informed as time goes on. All right. So we kind of mentioned it a couple weeks ago when we talked about some of the leaks from EA. Now we know that the Need for Speed is coming.
Yeah. Apparently it is supposed to be at least a spiritual successor to Need for Speed Underground, which, whatever. The important part about Need for Speed games is how it smartly, not just how it does, but how it smartly brings together a community to play online. Because when you think about past Need for Speed games in the last console generation, the ones that brought the community together to play together in a smart way were the ones people remember. Hot Pursuit.
That was the best one.
Yeah, for sure. That came out in 2010. Still considered the best one. And Most Wanted, which people enjoyed, just they missed the Hot Pursuit cops versus robbers aspect. But those were the two that people remembered. No one remembers The Run.
Yeah, that was the one that they tried to put a bit of a story mode in, right?
Yeah, exactly. That was basically the Cannonball Run across the country.
Yeah.
And last year's Rivals, people talked about it for about a week, and then no one else talked about it because you could only play with 6 people online, and those 6 people were spread across a huge map, so you never really interacted with them. So, sure, we're going to be learning more details at E3, and the game will be coming up this year, but it doesn't matter to me what they do, just as long as they find a smart way to bring people together online.
And Moment, I assume you still hope it will be called Need for Speed TBD? Is this what you're asking?
I'm hoping. Fingers crossed.
Yep.
Fingers crossed they just come out and say it's Need for Speed TBD. And then we'll just see what that means. I don't know.
Doesn't have to mean anything.
It could be.
It'd be so cool it doesn't mean anything.
I hope it actually does mean to be determined. Need for Speed, to be determined.
You determine the end of this game.
Yeah, exactly. That's a tough tagline. All right, you know him as the catcher for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Never mind.
He's also on the cover of the Canadian edition of MLB The Show, and he will be with us right here on the Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network coming up next, so stay with us.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. We've got game. Do you in the game?
You're back listening to Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Brian Calhoun in front of me, Christine Chubb to my right. My name is Momin Qureshi. At GotGame590 on Twitter is where you can find a picture of myself interviewing Russell Martin from the Blue Jays. More on that in a second. Sportsnet590.ca is where you can find our blog. Tune in, and iTunes is where you can find the podcast. Now, Christine, you and I went to the PlayStation Lounge at the EB Games at Young Dundas on Wednesday?
That is certainly correct.
Yeah, Wednesday, Around the lunchtime, we went upstairs, and there was Russell Martin, catcher for the Toronto Blue Jays.
I know.
It wasn't coincidental. He didn't just happen to be there. It was, was prearranged. But
he was picking up his copy of The Witcher.
That's right, yeah.
He was.
Which what's Christine all these will people be reviewing for us here? Next week.
That's true. I will be reviewing The Witcher, the 200 bajillion hour game.
I remember you were texting me, and I was like, hey, are you going to review that this week? You're like, it's a 200 hour game. I need a little bit of time.
Yeah. I wasn't going to be able to do it in 3 days.
Yeah. I mean, you could, but I mean, you wouldn't have a job.
I wouldn't be able to sleep. I'd be like a poo. I'd pretend I was the hummingbird.
Yes, I get the reference.
Okay.
And I love it. I didn't mean to be snarky about it.
It's all right. I saw
you. But Russell Martin was there, and he it was very weird to see him not in a Jays uniform or in a baseball uniform. He was wearing a black sweater and jeans and just seemed like a regular Joe. And we talked to him about being on the cover of MLB The Show. But before we get to that, we've had a chance to interview a lot of people, a lot of athletes and stuff.
Yes.
He was probably one of the most, like, cool, chill, like, just genuine, laid-back guys.
He was super laid-back. Yeah, I didn't really know what to expect. I mean, Bautista, you know what I think, though? Bautista, we've interviewed a couple times, and he comparatively did not seem like he had anything really said. I mean, I know that he talked about a bajillion people that day ahead of us, but he seemed like he was genuinely answering the questions like he would. He didn't, like, sometimes when Bautista talks, he has a little, like, just taking it one day at a time, you know, a little preset answers. But no, he seemed, like, really to be like, okay, this is my honest answer to this question.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right, is that when we walked in, I think the PR company that was handling it said that there was, like, 12 or 15 interviews, and we were, like, second last. And I was like, oh, boy, if he's talked to this many people before us already, you never know what you're going to get. But he was great. He was fantastic. So Christine and I had a chat with Russell Martin, and we began by talking to him and saying, hey, what's it like to see your mug on the cover of MLB The Show 15?
You're on the cover of MLB The Show 15. You sign here in the offseason. It's all a lot of stuff. I mean, where does this rank for you in terms of coming home, signing with the Jays, getting the contract? Now you're on the cover of a baseball game. That's immortalized for life.
That's a good point. It definitely is pretty cool. It's one of those things when you're a kid growing up, you know, you hope to be in a video game one day. You know, that'd be a cool thing. And now it's my 10th season, so, you know, I've been in quite a few baseball games, but never been on a cover. So now being on a cover makes it even more special, especially coming back home, playing for the home team, and then being on the home cover. I mean, it couldn't get any better.
Is that something that you thought about at all? Because they started this Canadian edition, I think, 4 years ago. Bautista was on the cover a couple of times. Laurie last year. I know you were playing in the States for a while, but did you know about the Canadian cover and think about that at all?
I remember because I went to actually the school with Jose. We went to the same junior college in Florida. So I remember him getting the cover. You know, I thought it was pretty cool. I never really thought of getting a cover. It never really was, you know, it wasn't like a goal or a dream of mine, but it definitely, I feel like it's just something cool that happened, and now I appreciate it.
Now, did they give you, like, a big size one? Is it hanging in your house somewhere?
No, I haven't asked for that, but I think it's a pretty good idea.
Yeah, I think you should. You should put it up, like
in just a trophy room type thing. Yeah.
You know, just when people open the front door to your house, it's there hanging.
That'd be funny.
It really did seem like you were the obvious choice because, like, it felt like the ink wasn't even dry on the contract, and already they were like, you're on the cover, you were Moman's pick to be on there, and you're representing not only Toronto's team, but Canada's team. Have you got a lot of response from around the country on this?
You know, on social media a little bit, you know, people are excited. You know, anybody that likes video games and baseball games, you know, they're going to love MLB The Show. You know, the graphics are awesome, the game is awesome, you know, it's a fun game to play. I think people, you know, are excited. I think the people, you know, in Canada were excited to have me on board on the Blue Jays. Same thing for me. I mean, I was just, and now I'm happy to put on a Blue Jay uniform and, you know, going to work every day on a team that I used to cheer for when I was a kid. So now I'm actually on the cover with the Blue Jay jersey on. It's pretty special.
Now let's talk about the cover. I've interviewed a lot of cover athletes in the past. We talked to Jonathan Taves, who was on the cover of NHL, a few other ones throughout time. The pose on the cover, that's you know, something that's it. That's your face, that's your body, that's there immortalized. Did you have any say in the way you were going to look on the cover, and how do you feel with the way it ended up?
I think they showed me an example of it, and I just, you know, they just needed me to get the green light on it, and I like it. I mean, it's an action shot. It's not I had to pose for. So that's like an actual action shot of me throwing a baseball. It looks like I'm trying to throw to first base there, but you can't really tell, though.
Did you have any desire? Did you want something different? Like just maybe you like leaning on the bat in a pose, or did you have any ideas that you wanted to sketch out, or would you just want like an action pose?
You know, I didn't really put any thought into it. I saw that cover and I thought it looked cool, and I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm totally okay with that one.
You mentioned the graphics of the game, and this game has always been known for its realism. And as the catcher, the position of the game is largely what you see every day.
Exactly.
How does this game look? How does the Rogers Center look comparatively to how you actually see it?
Yeah, no, the point of view is kind of exactly, you know, what it looks like when I go to work every day. You know, you have the whole, you know, the crowd behind, you know, the pitcher. You know, it's exactly in the catcher's point of view. So it definitely, you know, resembles what I go through pretty much every day when I'm catching behind the plate. So, you know, they did a great job. All the stadiums, all the details, you know, like the little shadows and you know, everything about the game, you know, is pretty fantastic.
Now, with the game itself, have you played previous versions? Are you a gamer yourself at all?
I think I skipped a couple years, but I remember playing MLB The Show quite a bit when I was in the minors and stuff, and kind of doing the road to the show. I thought it was pretty cool. And now, you know, since I'm on the cover, I've played a little bit, and I think it's, you know, I think it's sweet, man. I think every year the game keeps getting better, just in like the actions of the players, you know, all the little details, the faces, everything. I think it's awesome.
Where is your ability level in terms of Russell Martin, the baseball player, versus Russell Martin, the video game MLB The Show player?
I definitely don't consider myself a major league video game player. You know, definitely not. But I feel like I can hold my own. You know, I'm definitely I'm not a chump.
Well, that's good to know. And now, what about in the clubhouse? Do you guys play the game?
You know, I don't think that the guys play baseball as much. I feel like, you know, when you're in the season and you're grinding, yeah, and you've got 162 days of baseball, and you spend like 8 hours a day at the field, guys tend to, you know, I think like guys are playing a little bit more FIFA and stuff like that. There's a few that will actually play. And most of the time it's guys that are like pitchers in the bullpen who are not like, when they do play, they spend like 20 minutes on the field. Most of the position players, you know, they get 3 hours of baseball in that day, and then they've had enough.
Now, you're obviously not the only Canadian on the team this year. Was there a bit of razzing now that you were the token athlete this year?
Not really. I mean, you know, the guys, you know, we do joke around a little bit, and but honestly, I thought I was going to get more heat for it, and the guys were pretty cool with it, so... you know, I don't know, maybe the beard scares them away or something.
Well, it's, I mean, we're only, what, like 5 or 6 weeks into the season. There's still lots of time.
There's definitely still lots of time. And, you know, I think in the next couple road trips, it's going to be a challenge of mine to get the guys to start playing some MLB The Show. So, you know, I can get them to maybe it'll get us on a winning streak or something.
We're talking to Russell Martin of the Blue Jays on the cover of MLB The Show 15 here on Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Let's go back in time a bit. Were you a gamer growing up? Did you play video games, or was it just like focused on baseball for you?
Well, played a lot of sports during the day, and at night before going to bed, I'd you know, log in some hours playing video games. You know, started with Nintendo, just playing regular Mario, and then Punch-Out came out, Mike Tyson Punch-Out. I was a big fan of that game. And then Super Nintendo, played Super Mario, played Mario Kart. You know, I played tons of video games. I was a big fan.
I'm always amazed at how Nintendo seems to show up when we talk to athletes. It's like that's their go-to is all of the Mario. So it's funny that you're exactly the same as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I grew up on. And then, you know, now the video games are so much better. You know, definitely don't mind, you know, killing zombies and stuff like that too. So.
Now, you were mentioning a bit about guys who play games. I mean, aside from MLB The Show, is there any sort of competitive edge when it comes to video games inside the locker room?
Well, I think that's the thing about video games is it is competitive. Right. And, I mean, we're natural competitors, you know, being athletes and stuff. And that's definitely, I think that's the reason why we're so drawn to them. You know, guys like to compete on the field, off the field, wherever it is. And that's the fun thing that, you know, you can compete against a guy that's your teammate or just a friend or whatever, and in a friendly way. It's fun.
Now, I know that we're only 6 weeks into the season, but Jose was on the cover twice, back-to-back. Then Brett was on it once. You're on it now. Are you going for the repeat? Are you thinking about the repeat? A lot of guys in the NHL, I know they have campaigns that they launch. I remember Scott Hartnell did it with the Flyers where he was campaigning to get on the cover. Is this something that you've given any thought to?
You know, I haven't gotten that far yet. Just going to play this season out, see how it goes, and then we'll when next year comes, we'll see.
Now that you're on the cover, have you given any thought to the fact that, you know, I remember we would talk to Jonathan Tabes. He talked about how he grew up playing the game, and now he's on the cover, and it's something that he's going to think about years later. I mean, you've been an all-star, you've done a whole bunch of stuff, but this is something that years from now, would you think about showing your kids and your grandkids and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be a cool thing. I mean, right. You know, it's the cover's there. It's not going to go anywhere. You know what I mean? So it's hard to tell. I can't predict the future, but I think it's cool now, I'm definitely going to think it's cool later.
So that's the guy. You know him, you love him. He's Russell Martin, the catcher for the Toronto Blue Jays, and his face is on the cover of MLB The Show 15, the Canadian edition.
The one thing I should have asked him, too, because he mentioned it. I don't remember if he mentions it in the interview or if it was off camera, but he talked about his beard. And I wanted to ask, I should have asked, what did you think of your beard performance in the game?
Because,
you know, they make a lot of effort to do that realistic facial hair now.
For sure. So the thing is that MLB The Show is widely considered to be, bar none, the best baseball game out there by the vast majority of people. However, Dan tweeted us, and he's a regular tweeter, so we appreciate it, and he said, to the picture that you tweeted out, Christine, of us talking to Martin, he said, "Wish the game was as good as Russell. Never been a fan of the show. 2K had superior stick hitting and pitching." In all our years, I've never heard somebody come back at us and say 2K is the better option.
And he means MLB The Show, not this show.
Never been
a
fan.
Well, wait, maybe.
You know what? Now I'm rereading this. Dan, I know you've tweeted us a bunch of times, but never once have you said you love the show. So maybe you're just tweeting us saying, I never. He's probably at home being like, no, I'm talking about your show.
That's right.
Your show stinks. I'm assuming he's talking about MLB The Show.
Yes.
But it's interesting. I mean, I'm not going to knock him for it. If you like 2K better, that's awesome. And it is the only option that Xbox players have had for a long time until RBI came back, I guess. But it's interesting to hear somebody say that they preferred 2K.
Another thing that happened over this week was that we saw the first trailer for Doom.
Yeah.
It really wasn't a trailer. It was just a couple of seconds of footage.
No, it's a teaser trailer.
It was a teaser. We tweeted that out. A lot of people tweeted back to us. Ryan said that he didn't think that he wanted this, but something about the shotgun reloading has him on board. Let's do this.
Yeah, the people
are excited. Let's do this with, like, let's do this.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
Now I'm scared.
That's gumption.
Now I'm scared. JC also wrote us back about Doom, and he said, "That scream, man, that scream." And then he hashtagged it emotions. I really wish he hashtagged it the feels. Just for Brian.
Feels of the screams.
Yeah, but he did not, so it's sad. But what are you going to do? There's a new game coming out for Nintendo Wii U called Splatoon. The three of us tried it out at E3. That's how Valley Girl would say it, by the way.
E3.
It's actually E3. We tried it out at E3. I'm really excited about it. We're going to tell you more about it when Heather Potter from Nintendo Canada joins us. That's coming up next on Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. We've got game. Do you? Gameplay.
You're back listening to the third and final segment of Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network for this very week. Christine Chubb, Ryan Calhoun, my name is Momin Qureshi, all sitting at the table to talk video games for you. You can always participate by tweeting us at GotGame590, emailing us GotGame@Sportsnet590.ca throughout the week, and we will try to get back to you at the moment and then maybe talk about it on the air later on in the week when we do our show, you know? Splatoon. It's a game that's coming out for the Nintendo Wii U. It's an original IP for Nintendo, which is the first time, I think, in a long time, I feel like they've come out with an original IP that's getting this kind of hype and talk about.
I think it was like Wii Fitness would have been the last one.
I don't know if it's been that long, but it's been a while.
It's been a while. Where there wasn't a recognizable character in any way.
Right, yeah, that's true. This is a completely original IP. Brian, I think it's you initially said it was Baby's first-person shooter. Like, Baby's first-person shooter.
It's a third-person shooter, so I just call it Baby's first shooter.
Right, exactly. So when we get to Heather, she's going to describe it. Actually, why don't we get to Heather first, and then we have some thoughts about the game as well afterwards. So Heather Potter from Nintendo Canada joined me a little while ago, and I said, for people who don't know what Splatoon is, tell us about what Splatoon is.
Splatoon is a brand new IP from Nintendo, and essentially it's Nintendo's first action shooter game where you're going to splatter your enemies with ink or claim your turf in a full-on ink-spewing, full-on battle.
So it's kind of neat. It's an interesting idea. I mean, it is a first-person shooter, which I think sometimes makes people scratch their head because it's Nintendo and you guys have a reputation of being very family-friendly. But it involves spraying ink and covering everything in ink, so it's super fun. So, I mean, talk to us a bit about what the sort of the point of the gameplay is in the gameplay.
Absolutely. So there are three different main modes in the game. The biggest one, the one that we're kind of hanging our hats on in glory, is the turf war mode. So that's when you're going to get online in two teams of four, and essentially the goal is to cover your turf with this wacky colored paint, and it's the team with the most ground covered at the end of the round is the winning team. So the goal isn't necessarily to spray your opponent, it's to cover ground, but it is really, really satisfying when you do spray your opponent.
And competitive, if I can say. I know that.
Oh, yes.
I know that we here at Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network played last year, and we played with a couple of our buddies from GameRant.com, and you know, we're all friends. We all get along just fine, but it quickly turns very competitive, and you do definitely want to win very badly. There's no question about it.
Oh, absolutely. As you're watching the gamepad, you get to see the different kind of turf get take over. And when you see your color kind of diminishing, you want to go back to that zone that is losing its color, and you'll meet your foes, and it's an all-out battle for about 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I know it's obviously teamwork. You're working with your partners, but if somebody isn't pulling their weight, it can cause some friction on your own team.
Absolutely, and there is no voice chat, so it's all about teamwork and knowing where your teammates are and making sure you're spreading out your ground as best you can.
So you mentioned that there's some other modes. Tell us about those.
Absolutely. So there is a battle dojo. So that's kind of the local multiplayer where you're playing against someone. One person's got the TV, the other person's got the gamepad, and the goal is to collect, or I guess destroy, as many balloons as you can in the time frame. And not only are you destroying balloons, but you're also shooting your opponent to diminish their point total. And that, again, gets super competitive because you're both in the same room and you're getting super heated and you're seeing the totals go up and down, and it's an all-out battle.
And what about the third mode?
The third mode is our single-player campaign mode, so you're going to come up against some really great enemies and different kind of tactics and new mechanics in the game as you work through the different levels.
Can you talk a bit about more about that? Because, I mean, you know, we all know about the big first-person shooters, Call of Duty, Halo, all those ones, but it sounds like this game is trying to go down some of those paths in terms of having, you know, a single-player campaign mode and all that kind of stuff, along with multiplayer modes.
Yes, absolutely. So just like any other kind of Nintendo iconic IP, we do have those big boss battles. So as you're working your way through every level, you're going to come up against that big boss at the end, and hopefully you're building up your skills as you're going. So as you're progressing through, you're trying these new kind of tactics and coming up against these new obstacles and basically using all of those new skills that you've learned to be able to beat that final boss.
Talking to Heather Potter from Nintendo Canada, talking about Splatoon here on Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Now, you mentioned that there's local multiplayer that you can do, but which parts of the game can you do online multiplayer in?
That is the Turf War. So that's when you're getting online with a team of four against another team of four.
So do you have to have a local team of four to play against an online team of four, or can you join matches as a single player?
You always join matches as a single player.
Oh, okay, so you have to be a single player to
Yeah,
join.
You have to be a single player. It's just you in your living room, totally zoned in on accomplishing the turf war.
So is it possible if, say, you know, if me and you were hanging out at my house, can the two of us go in and join a game together, or you just have to enter the arena as a single player?
You have to enter the arena as a single player. When you go online, it's one player per Wii U. So if you had two TVs and two systems, then absolutely, you could totally join.
I would love to have two TVs and two systems. Would that I could live in that world where that is possible. I would love to. So here's the thing. This game is set up as we talked about, as sort of a first-person shooter. And I'm wondering if you could maybe express to me why somebody who plays other first-person shooters, like a Call of Duty or a Halo or, you know, sort of the more mature ones, would get a kick out of playing Splatoon. Because I myself, when I played Splatoon, you know, our co-host Brian is really into all those first-person shooters, and he got a kick out of it. And I think this is one that can translate to people who maybe enjoy those other ones.
Absolutely. So I think the way that we look at Splatoon, it's kind of flipped on its head. So in the turf war, when you are doing that online 4-on-4, your goal isn't necessarily to take out your opponent, it's to cover your turf. So it kind of, it switches your brain a little bit, and you're not necessarily wanting to get right into the thick of the battle. You want to look down at your gamepad and figure out what part of that map isn't covered by your color yet, and go there and cover it, and then go back to the battle and make sure that you're diminishing the other team. But again, when you're playing those classic kind of first-person shooters, you want to get in there, you want to get right to the thick of it and take out the opponent. That's not the way that you want to play this online turf wars. Or it is, and then your team's going to get a little frustrated when you're not covering your turf, but to each their own.
I know you said this is an original IP for Nintendo, and as we've seen with other IPs with Nintendo, it's usually not a one and done. I know this one hasn't even hit shelves yet, but is there a chance we could see more Splatoons? Could we see these Splatoon characters show up in different types of games, whether it's action, adventure, or otherwise?
Never say never, but at this point, an original Splatoon coming out on May 29th is the only one that I have in the books.
Splatoon amiibos, maybe?
Oh, definitely. We have some Splatoon amiibo coming out with this again on May 29th. We have the 3-pack that comes with the Inkling Girl, Inkling Boy, and Squid amiibo. And then you can also get the Inkling Boy and Inkling Girl separately.
That's Heather Potter from Nintendo Canada talking about Splatoon, which comes out on May 29th. I already got the download code, so I will be reviewing it for our show next week, along with Christine's review of The Witcher. Now, Brian, you had some thoughts on Splatoon, because you, admittedly, are not the biggest Nintendo fan. You typically...
I wouldn't say that.
Well, you're not a huge Nintendo fan. I wouldn't even say fanboy.
I'm someone who had a NES growing
sure,
up.
Sure. As we
had a Game Boy. I currently have a 3DS.
Right.
It's not that I don't appreciate what Nintendo does. It's just at the moment, they have gone in directions that I don't really feel like I want to walk in. But so we haven't separated moment. We are just taking some time apart.
You're on a break.
Yeah.
You're on a break. But it sounds to me like this could potentially be something that ends your break, though. That you're quasi-interested in this game.
Oh, I'm interested in this game. Whether or not it's enough for me to actually get the Wii U, I don't think so. I think I'd be more in a situation where I would just ask you if I could borrow your Wii U for this one game. But that said, I mean, if there is a reason for you to get a Wii U, I think this might be on that list.
Right.
A lot of people, they look at Call of Duty and they see like the murder and like the guns and the violence. And I'm not saying that Call of Duty is not all about that, but when I play online, that's not what it is for me. It's a competition. It's who can get the other guy first. It's who's faster. It's who's more accurate.
Yeah.
And those same ideas can be transferred over to Splatoon, where it's comical, it's child-friendly, mm-hmm. it's colorful. Everybody is some sort of weird hybrid squid child, like it's the island of Dr. Monroe. It is a game that has all the mechanics of a shooter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Done with like these little paint guns in a way where kids can get involved.
Well, Brian, it's interesting. I actually spoke to a parenting expert, Kathy Buckworth. She talked to me about why Splatoon is a good game for kids. I'm going to throw that up in our blog at sportsnet590.ca and you can check it out. But she actually talks about a lot of the stuff that you talk about, you know, kids who are interested in shooters and want to play shooters. This is kind of a good one to get started with because it's ink and it's fun and it's mm-hmm. not, there's no blood, there's no gore, obviously, but it's still engaging. And I think it's even one that teens and even adults like you and me yeah. and Christine can get into.
Well, calling you an adult is a stretch. But anyhow.
It's strictly in the age sense more than the actual maturity.
But getting to the point of the game, there are like new mechanics in this game that actually make it different from Call of Duty, from Battlefield, mm-hmm. that I feel like someone could get into.
Oh, yeah.
For example, you can move twice as fast if you have your entire map painted with your ink. Because
yeah.
you can become
yep.
a squid and swim through it. And you can hide in it. You can do ambushes if people aren't really paying attention. You can just be a little squid guy.
Yeah.
And when you're a squid, you're very small, tiny on the screen, hard to see. You can just be laying in wait. And when they come past you and they're not paying attention, you just spread out and take them all down. There are ways this game changes the concept of a third-person shooter
for sure.
that I find really interesting.
In that faction as well, you can use any kind of surroundings. Like, you can jump on the wall, you can paint on the wall, and suddenly you can scooch up on the wall and mm-hmm. take down somebody that way. Like, it really heightens the imagination, because really anything is kind of possible. And I think this is really where this game has shone when we've played it, is when you are the squid and you're zooming around.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to playing it this weekend and getting some solid time, and I'm going to invite some of my cousins over, because from what I remember when we played at E3, I believe Riley from Game Rant played with us as well, and I remember getting super competitive very quickly, and I love that idea.
Super competitive really quickly? Shocker.
Quiet, man. I will take you down right now. Just as we're going through our Twitter interactions, Christine, I wanted to point out to you that nobody got your movie reference.
I know.
Now, what was
so
the reference?
Sad. It was Body Bags 2.
Now, normally, you and I are very in tune pop culture wise. Mm-hmm. We generally get each other's references. We like the same stuff. That's why we're buddies. But you even tweeted out later on in the week that what? Nobody? And we retweeted it from the Got Game account.
And I
nobody
say this
it.
Reference a lot, and it makes me think that nobody ever knows what I'm saying when I say Body Bags 2.
Christine, there might be a chance that no one knows what you're saying.
Ever.
Until this point in your life, we have just been rolling along with it in the hopes you don't realize.
Everything makes sense now.
Now, you put it out twice on, well, once on the show, twice on Twitter, and still nobody gets it. Should I know this reference?
Maybe, I guess. I don't know. It's a movie that I've seen about a bajillion times.
Would it be a movie that you think I've seen a bunch of times?
Probably.
I don't know. Brian, you got any clues here? Got any ideas?
Bags 2.
Ace Hood?
Body
is that,
Bags
is that a clue?
2. No.
Ace. I'm just Googling stuff here that says
this
body,
is body Bags 2.
2. Ace Hood, Body Bags Volume 2, hosted by YMCMB Mixtape.
Body Bags 2 movie? Is that what you've maybe Googled?
Does that mean there's a Body Bags 1 from Ace Hood? Now I'm more curious about that.
No, but you're on the right track with what you just said there.
Body Bags 1?
It's a part of the conversation in that movie.
Oh, no. Okay, you got to help. Okay, give me a clue at least.
All right, it's a Tarantino film.
What?
Well, Tarantino written film.
Like From Dusk Till Dawn?
No.
Is it directed by John Carpenter?
I don't think so.
Isn't that From Dusk Till Dawn?
Because there's a movie called Body Bags that's directed by John Carpenter.
No.
What a surprise. I had a chance to interview Carpenter once, and he was like the coolest guy, man. He was awesome when I interviewed him.
Okay, well, we're running out of time. Right. So, Christine, you're just going to have to explain this before we go to break.
The movie is True Romance.
Oh, you know what? I've never seen True Romance.
The scene is when Clarence goes to sell his cocaine to the film producer. They're looking at dailies.
It's a family movie.
They're looking at dailies from... The previous movie was Coming Home in a Body Bag, and they're making a sequel. And the producer, Lee Donowitz, asks, what does so-and-so want it to be called? What do the head of the studios want it to be called? And Balky Bartokomous, I can't remember what his real name
Bronson
is.
Bronson Pinchot.
Says,
God, why do
Body
I know that?
Bags 2. And that is, and then there's a very profane answer to it, which I can't say on the radio.
I for one am really glad that our audience at 7:55 on Sunday morning really got to hear that entire explanation. It's been wonderful.
I can't wait for next week when I get to explain Kingdom of Heaven and why it's better on the director's cut than it was in the theaters.
That's next week on Got Movies on the Sportsnet Radio Network. That is indeed all the time we have for this week. Christine, you're going to review The Witcher next week. I'm going to review Splatoon. Brian is going to be here attentively listening to both of us, but that's all the time we have for this week. At Game590 on Twitter, gotgame@sportsnet590.ca is the email address, sportsnet590.ca is the blog, iTunes, TuneIn. That's everything. We'll see you next week. This has been Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Body Bags 2.